Hey everyone, thank you for tuning in to the SFLC podcast. We'd like to thank our sponsors, Dependable Solutions, innovating the future of your small to medium-sized business since 2012. Learn how you can save 40 to 60% on your overall credit card processing bill by going to dependable-solutions.net. Again, that's dependable-solutions.net. Also, teststrips.com. That's teststrips with a Z.com. Managing diabetes is your business. Making it affordable is theirs. Sell your extra unused diabetes supplies for up to $50 per box and support a worthy cause. Rated a Better Business Bureau accredited A+ rating for over 5 years. Partnered with 98.5 The Sports Hub and affiliated with the American Diabetes Association. Make sure to check them out again. That is teststrips with a Z.com. Finally, we'd like to thank the UFC South Austin Gym, located at 9900 South Interstate 35 in Austin, Texas. Learn how you can get 3 free classes when you sign up and mention the SFLC podcast. Be sure to call them at 512-292-1900.
SFLC podcast.
All right, everybody, and welcome back to the SFLC podcast. I am Ryan Sprague here, and kind of loading up on shows this week, especially considering the timing and everything that's been going on. It sounds perfect, but as we're kind of reaching out, and we've been able to have some talks with Bellator fighters, and we've been talking about the upcoming boxing match with Errol Spence Jr., we're going to kind of focus on UFC and on some of the fighters, and of course, we like to check in with gyms from time to time. So we have good friend of the show, Dean Thomas from American Top Team, joining us again. Dean, how's everything going out there?
Everything's going good. I'm just happy to be back in South Florida where the weather is nice and everything is beautiful here. I mean, it's actually kind of hot. I mean, I was at a spring training baseball game yesterday and it was like 86 degrees outside. So just enjoying this weather.
What spring training game did you go to?
It was the Astros and the Nationals.
Ah, are you a fan of either of those two teams, or who's your team?
No, I'm not actually. I just do a radio show, and we were actually on location yesterday. So,
that's a nice way to have it then. But you know, I feel you on the weather, even though here in Austin, you know, during South by Southwest, we've had some nice days, we've had some not nice days. It's probably sitting around like mid-50s right now. But it the weather has been crazy, you know. In Florida, at least it's consistent. It's warm to hot. It doesn't have very many cold days there.
Yeah, and I know about that, the cold days, because for the majority of this year, I had spent it in Milwaukee, where it was, you know, sub 20 degrees every day. So, like I said, I'm just glad to be back. But, you know, I was in Milwaukee for camp over with Duke Rufus, over at Rufus Sports with Tyron Woodley. So, you know, it's been rough.
No, I hear you. Trust me, I do not miss being in Chicago, Milwaukee, that northern part up there during the winters, I will say that. But, you know, you brought him up, and we ended up having a couple weeks ago, UFC 235. Tyron ended up going up, and as we were talking off air, he ended up losing to Kamaru Usman in a decision in the co-main event of UFC 235. But, you know, Tyron went out, and they put on a show, man. 5 full rounds, couldn't finish each other. Kamaru gets a decision. You've talked with Tyron. How's Tyron doing after his fight?
Well, we spoke once after his fight. You know, I normally like to give guys a moment to let whatever happens settle in. Whether they win or lose, I like to give them their time. And it also takes me a time to get adjusted back to my normal life. So I've only spoken to him once, and he seemed positive on being able to make a comeback. He kind of has a kind of laid out a plan in his own mind as to what he would like to do to get his title back. But he seemed very positive, obviously disappointed in the outcome of the fight, very positive in the future.
Well, and you and I were talking, you know, he held that belt for some time, and you said that, you know, every great run has to come to an end, but Tyron's not done.
Yeah, I mean, that was what he told me, you know, when I when we talked and I told him that, I said, you know, he said, man, look, you know, I'm sorry it didn't work out. And I said, look, man, we won the belt. We went on this journey together. You won the belt. You held on to it successfully after four times. And, man, it was a great run. Not a lot. I mean, it was more than I ever did in my career. So it was a great run. And he said, hey, don't talk like that, man. I'm not done yet.
That's good.
Where we're at right now.
Well, that's good to hear. And then, of course, we've seen what's happened with that belt, and we know that there was a lot of chitter chat about who is going to end up fighting. You know, if Colby Covington's going to be next in line for that title shot against Kamaru Usman, if Tyron's going to get a rematch. What are you thinking as a coach? You see what happened with this belt, and now you see what's going on. What do you think is the next step for the welterweight division for the next title fight?
Well, you know, the welterweight division has historically been the most intriguing division in the UFC. I mean, we like to think of, you know, some of the other divisions, like the light heavyweight, even though that might be one of the more exciting divisions just because of the star power in those divisions. But the welterweight division has been the most intriguing division in the UFC because of the runs that the champions have had, starting from Matt Hughes, George St. Pierre, and then Tyron Woodley. And then just they've never fully been a clear-cut contender. It's always been, you know, the top 10 guys always battling out for, you know, that spot or their shot at the title. And it's always been that way. So there's never really like this clear-cut person who kind of deserves it. Even up until now. I mean, now that we have, you know, Colby, I think, should be next in line. But Tyron, you know, he deserves a rematch based off of his history. And you also have Ben Askren. And then, you know, you still got, you know, the Wonder Boy. You got Wonder Boy still lurking in the shadows. And Darren Till, George Masvidal, they're fighting. Then you got Gunnar Nelson. I mean, you got these guys. And I can't forget Santiago Ponzinibbio. You got all these guys just lurking and waiting for their opportunity. So it's very difficult to say. I mean, there's a lot of things that have to happen. But at the end of the day, it's all a matter of what the UFC wants. So there's just so many moving parts involved with who's going to get the next shot and who deserves it. And, you know, and those little things that make that are going to be the deciding factor of who gets the title shot. But honestly, I think Colby gets it. And hopefully Tyron gets it, but you never know because Ben Askren is right there.
That is true. And, you know, Ben Askren had quite the show in his first UFC fight. And, you know, you mentioned all of these welterweights that are kind of still there and still pushing for that title push. And, oh, yeah, four of them train with American Top Team. So, in Ponzinibbio, Jorge Masvidal, who's fighting this weekend, Colby Covington, and former champion Tyron Woodley. So, your way, the welterweight division really just kind of has a lot of moving parts. If you were a guessing man, would you say that the next one goes to Colby, or would you say that Woodley gets the rematch?
No, I think Colby's going to get it, and I almost think rightfully so. I mean, Colby, he earned it. You know, he should have fought for the real belt months ago. You know, that should have been his opportunity. In fact, he should have been fighting instead of Usman, but it didn't work out that way. So you can't just ignore Colby. I mean, he did win the interim belt when they gave him that opportunity, so he is the rightful owner of the interim belt, even though they did strip him. But he still did what he had to do, and I do think that he deserved a shot at the title. However, I'm not sure he'll get past Usman, but, you know, again, like, there's just so many different moving parts involved in that welterweight division that it's always interesting to see what will happen next.
Well, I'm curious. I know that you were out there for the fight, and there was a lot of kind of mayhem that was going on with Colby. And, you know, Colby was kind of being Colby around Dana White and, you know, at Kamaru Usman's open workout. But then we ended up seeing that scene that happened with him and Ali Abdelaziz. Is Colby kind of bringing this stuff on himself, or was Ali out of line here?
No, you know, I mean, at times I think Colby can cross the line a little bit. Because for him, I'm not sure if he understands the magnitude of it and how real it is for some people. And we should, and he should have learned his lesson from the Khabib-Conor incident that happened months ago, is that, you know, while this may be entertainment for a lot of fans, you know, a lot of this, what we do in all the theatrics that we're putting off comes from WWE and pro wrestling. And while this may be entertainment for the fans and, you know, it's fun to do it, it is real life for some other people. And some other people don't take it as, or some people do take it seriously. And Kobe, I think, has a hard time of distinguishing that line, and he crosses it sometimes. And one, and he's going to run into the wrong person, and it hasn't happened yet, but I can promise you, a lot of these guys that he's dealing with, you know, they're not actors, and they come from, you know, places, they come from areas where people don't play that way. And he's going to have to really be careful of who he talks to and who he messes with, because something bad could happen to him.
That's a good point. And, you know, I think it's fair to say that Kobe kind of knows how to keep himself in check. Yeah, every now and then he puts on the theatrics, but overall, I don't think he's done anything that's, you know, too bad. I think that's the best way to put it.
Well, you know, it's not like he's like keyed somebody's car or anything like that, but again, like some of these guys that he's dealing with might not think that it's funny what he's doing. And they'll, you know, they'll come after him. So he has to be careful. Like for me and you, we can say, oh, it's not too bad, but some other people, that too bad is enough.
Yeah, that makes sense. No, that's a good point. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll move on. And of course, you are finally back in South Florida, so you have a nice break. This weekend, UFC in London, the main event, Jorge Masvidal, who trains with American Top Team, versus Darren Till. Dean, when you have the ability to stay home, do you kick back and just watch these fights, you know, in the comfort of your own home and break it down? Or what is your plan with this fight card?
Nah, you know, normally, there's a couple of fights that I am interested on. Obviously interested in the Darren Till Jorge Masvidal fight, only because I've always been invested in the welterweight division, you know, being Tyron Woodley's head coach. So I'm still interested in how that fight plays out. Plus, I'm a fan of, you know, Jorge Masvidal. I mean, he's from Miami, and you know, I've watched him come up since he was just a young man. So I've always been a fan of his. I think he's a tremendous talent, always been a tremendous talent. So I'm interested to see how he does. I'm also interested in the Gunnar Nelson Leon Edwards fight, just because I'm a fan of Gunnar Nelson as well. I think his style, he's got a great style for MMA, something different that a lot of people don't bring to the table. He does bring to the table. So I probably will watch those fights, but on a typical UFC event, I don't really sit back and watch fights. I read about them as they're happening on SureDog or Twitter or whatever else, but, you know, I'm just kind of reading the play-by-play. But unless I'm studying a fight and studying, you know, what a person is doing, I don't really sit back and watch for entertainment purposes.
Interesting. And then, of course, you know, one thing that we were talking about with Blake Stevenson last night was that we have the welterweight Darren Till versus Jorge Masvidal, but the co-main event, Leon Edwards versus Gunnar Nelson, while it's a great welterweight fight, is it really the star power that would overshadow a Dominic Reyes versus Volkan Ozdemir fight? You know, I kind of was weird. It weirded me out that one wasn't the co-main event.
Well, I mean, you also got to look at the location of this fight. I mean, you know, I think that, you know, with both, you know, Leon Edwards and, you know, Gunnar Nelson both being European fighters fighting in London, it kind of makes sense to put that on as the co-main event. You know, while I think Dominic Reyes is the next big thing in the light heavyweight division, he still doesn't have name recognition. Like, and not that, you know, Gunnar Nelson does or Leon Edwards does here in the States, but, you know, for a London card, it does kind of make sense, because I don't think that Dominic Reyes has name recognition as far as even in the States from a general fan perspective, and he definitely doesn't have it from a European perspective as far as like even from the live gate. So I think it does make sense to kind of have Leon Edwards and Gunnar Nelson co-main event that card.
Okay, that makes sense. That's a good way of looking at it. As you kind of look at these two fights, we'll start with the co-main between Leon Edwards and Gunnar Nelson. You know, you mentioned how that's a unique style that's going on, but if you had to call who was coming out of this with their hand raised, who do you have, Dean?
I'm going to go with Gunnar Nelson. I think that I don't want to say a more dangerous fighter, but I always tend to side with the grapplers that are successful. You know, if you end up with a grappler who's not successful, he's not going to be successful at all. But when you tend to deal with like some of the more successful grapplers, in terms of like Gunnar Nelson, Damian Maia, when they go up against strikers, they tend to do really well because they've adapted their grappling game to the current MMA game. So I have to give him the advantage in this fight. I think he's going to be smart enough to not take a lot of punishment. And when he gets to the ground, he's so dangerous on the ground. And his ground and pound is vicious. I mean, what you saw what he did to Cowboy Oliveira. I mean, Cowboy Oliveira is another dangerous striker. He was able to get him to the ground and just open him up with elbows. I could see him doing something similar to Leon Edwards, if not finishing, but a submission.
Wow. All right. And then on the main event with Darren Till versus Jorge Masvidal, Darren Till fighting in front of the home crowd. You know, Jorge Masvidal has been around this way more experienced than Darren Till is. That's not to take anything away from Till. Very dangerous striker. Do you think Jorge Masvidal is pulling this one out?
I hope so. Like I said, I've been a fan of Jorge Masvidal. I've been a fan of his skill for a long time. The biggest problem with Masvidal is that he tends to lose fights that he should win. And he tends to give them away based on just having too much fun and not being competitive when he's out there. I mean, if you look at his track record, he fights against Benson Henderson, Alain Quintana. He clearly outclassed these guys and just gave the fight away based on a lack of activity and just not having full awareness that he's actually in a fight in there to compete and not just show how good he is. He tends to do that in fights. If he has that mentality against a guy like Darren Till, and Darren Till doesn't get tired, I think Darren Till will win this fight, but Masvidal has to give it to him. But I think if Masvidal is competitive and says, you know what, this is the title run for me, I want to win this fight, I think he's the more well-rounded fighter. I think he's the better fighter, too, the more experienced fighter. But again, he has to be out there to compete, not just show how good he is.
From the voice of Dean Thomas, you heard it from him. You got Masvidal, but of course, with a little air of caution because he tends to lose fights that he should be winning. So before we let you go, Dean, you know, we appreciate the time that you give us, but what's your next project? What do you have going on? As a coach, you don't really have a lot of time off.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of time off as a coach. Like right now, next week I'm headed to Bellator in Thackerville on the 22nd. There's a card on there. I'll be with Johnny Eblen. And then after that, I'm just training a bunch of guys. I got Chris Jocko in the lineup coming up. I got Greg Hardy coming up. And, you know, I'm just working on those projects. But for me personally, like, if I don't do my own thing, I'll drive myself crazy. So right now I'm working on a play that I'm working on called The Exonerated that I'm doing in May. So that keeps me sane and keeps me humble, actually.
Wait. You're working on a play? We got to dive into this for a couple of minutes while I still have you. What got you into this play?
Oh, well, I've been acting for a while, and it's hard sometimes to do, especially doing plays, because it does take a certain amount of commitment to do them. And when I'm traveling so much or fights, I don't get to do them often. But I've committed to doing this for the May. So after my trip to Bellator, I'm not going to be traveling with fighters or anything like that. I'll be in the theater rehearsing, getting ready for this play.
You know, that's not fair, Dean, because I sit here and I'll talk MMA with people, and then all of a sudden, I'll start talking about theater, and it just makes people's heads turn 180 degrees. Do you get that same thing, especially being an MMA coach? Do some of the fighters or some of the people that you train, do they kind of jostle you a little bit for it?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I do, you know, plays in theater, but I also do improv, and Matt Serra gives me a really tough time for the fact that I do improv. He's always making fun of me with that. So, but you know, again, like it's the way that I express myself now creatively, because I don't fight no more. So I always tell fighters, listen, once you retire, you need to find something to do, because you're gonna drive yourself crazy. So I found what it is I like.
I appreciate that. Trust me, I personally really enjoy that. But anybody that we are gonna see have a black belt tossed into the ring in the near future? Anybody that you're gonna kind of give us a little headway on?
I don't know, man. I think, you know, I told myself I wouldn't give out too many belts. So I think I'm only going to give out maybe one or two more belts before it's all said and done within my career. In fact, you might even see it within the next couple of years. I may give Jillian Robertson black belt one day. So,
ooh, okay. I could be down for that. So she's really coming along.
Yeah, she's coming along. And, you know, I've watched her grow up since a little girl. So,
well, we know that we've seen her taking a couple of photos with Jose Shorty Torres, and that's always been a fun time for us.
Yeah, well, they were out in Milwaukee with me training for their last, well, for her, it was for her fight in Prague, and Shorty is fighting in, I think, in the Middle East in the next couple of weeks. In fact, he's actually on my schedule, too, so I forgot about him. I got to put him in there on my schedule.
Well, you got to give him a hard time for us because he certainly prides himself on being that kind of like, I don't want to say childish, but he likes to be young at heart kind of a fighter.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's kind of why we get along. All we do is goof around. We play around, and it's not fair. Some of the people around me that work hard. I think that's the reason why Amanda Nunes don't work with me so much anymore. I play too much.
Can I quote you on that? Amanda Nunes doesn't work with me anymore because I play too much.
Yeah, quote me on that for sure.
Dean Thomas, we always appreciate the time. Thank you again. Where can we find you next? Let everybody know what's going on in your world.
Well, if you can't find me on social media, everything is the same. Dean Thomas, spelled D-I-N Thomas, or my online training academy, trainbjjonline.com.
There we go. We always appreciate the time, and that's going to wrap it up for us here at the SFLC podcast, talking with Dean Thomas about the upcoming fight card in Tyron Woodley. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We look forward to hearing from you soon.